is concise arguments and new information. At this point, we've heard from a lot of passionate voices that have given us information for us to consider. Really, what's helpful now is, what did we miss? What is not in the record that you would like to add, other than saying I'm opposed to it or in favor of it? So please, in your 1 minute, give us something that we may not have heard, including if you have a solution that's not on the table.
What the commissioner said. All right, who's up next?
The next three are Desiree Taylor, Ernest Kufall, and Thomas Arness Marshall, 28, 29, and 30.
Since we've already determined that we only have 26, but there's an 80 on your list, why don't we, Mayor, just go with you picking people who raise their hand and do in sequence? Otherwise, we're just going to be going through the list. Well, why don't, we're going to give everyone a chance.
As soon as I say your name, you say here, and then...
Yeah, that would be helpful. So if you know okay. What, there's... And we're starting to have seats open up down here. If you could yell when your name is called so we know you are here. Okay, try it again.
Okay, and number 40, Anna Arut. Thank you, Anna. Michael Shui. Here, thank you. Bud Furbless. Okay, Briar Rose Schreiber. Thank you, Briar Rose. And the next I'm showing Becky Strauss, Maria Swarski, and Shannon Downs. I'll call you again. Thanks.
Good evening.
Hi.
How are you?
Am I close enough?
Yes.
Okay. So, briefly... I fully appreciate the efforts of this amendment, but as a long-term Portlander, renter, and now a new homeowner, I'm asking you not to pass it in its current form.
Just give us your name, please.
Anna Urutinova, sorry. My partner and I, faced with this difficult market, reserved to buying a duplex with another couple. We inherited tenants whose lease will roll over to month to month. We had no intentions to quickly evict anybody, so we've given them a 9-month notice to prepare. However, if this measure passes, we would have to pay $4,500, it is a 3-bedroom, to be able to move into our own home. Not only is this amount a huge burden on a first-time owner, it is also coming without warning. We potentially would not have bought this duplex if we had known. This amendment, in my opinion, needs to include provisions for landlords and their immediate families that want to occupy their own units, especially new buyers who have no control over the leases that they have inherited from the previous owners. Moving into one owns home should not be considered a no-cause eviction. This is not a novel exemption, and it currently exists in Seattle. I'm not a lobby. I'm not a big property owner. I'm not a loophole, and this isn't just an anecdote to me.
Could I ask one
yes.
clarifying question? So you currently live in one part of the duplex?
Yes.
And this is concerning the other part? So
the
you
other,
effectively
yes. but
have one rental unit?
We are two couples that purchased the property.
Okay.
And so we had to, four of us, occupy one unit.
Got it.
Partly because we don't want to just evict our tenants. We want to give them time, and because we understand it's a difficult move to make.
Thank you.
When did you give the notice?
When we purchased it, we...
What date would
October.
That be?
October.
Okay.
Yes. So, I mean, this was... Of course, we will give them a more formal notice, but we had a conversation just so that they were aware what was happening.
Thank
far
you.
In advance.
Good evening.
Hi, my name is Michael Shiwi. I'm a native Portlander, born and raised here. My wife and I bought our first rental property when we were 23. Properties we ended up selling to the city of Portland. That's another story. But, we have to keep Portland diverse. And there's a lot of great landlords, and there are a lot of bad landlords, and there's a lot of great tenants and some bad tenants. And you, as a landlord, you have to have the ability to deal with the bad tenants so you can keep the good tenants. I think this needs more. We have to look at this in a broader picture. I have a lot of tenants that are on fixed incomes. Their rents are half of what they should be or could be. How do I get them onto some subsidies? This is going to be an issue that's going to balloon here soon when people are retiring, the baby boomers come of age retiring. There are going to be a lot more people that don't have enough money to pay the rents. We need to, and they need to be able to get onto subsidies to compensate the landlords and to compensate everybody. And also, this big property that was here, the people were here, wanting to, they were all getting evicted by one landlord that bought the whole place. Well, maybe there should be a different look at this. If somebody buys a big property and evicts everybody, that's different than a single landlord having to deal with the situation. Maybe there should be a different way to look at that. And possibly we passed a bond measure for affordable housing. Why don't we look at buying that property? I bet it would be a lot cheaper than building property.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Briar Rose Schreiber, and I was born and raised in Portland, and I've been a renter here my entire life. At a number of times in the past, I've actually faced houselessness here in Portland. But the biggest challenge that I've faced here in Portland with housing is trying to rent housing and retain it as a transgender woman. I'm also queer, and often queer and transgender people are part of non-traditional families and households. Heterosexual couples might not have issues if they have one person who stays at home and isn't working, but with a queer couple, that looks very suspect to a lot of property owners. So it can adversely affect us in ways that it might not with others. Transgender people often spend a lot of time over the course of months and years getting their IDs updated. After I changed my name with all the credit bureaus, I actually had credit reports reporting I had zero credit for 6 months. And the realities are, of the discrimination by property owners are often hard to prove. The U.S. Trans Survey in 2015 reported that 30% of transgender individuals in the U.S. were experiencing houselessness in their lives. Locally, I can tell you that upwards of a dozen transgender women have been housed under my roof this year. And there's currently a Facebook group for trans women in Portland that need emergency housing that has 121 members in it. We've paid the rent. We've played by the rules, and those rules are killing us. I ask today that you support relocation assistance as a first step in preventing even more of my trans sisters being pushed into houselessness. And one last thing, I would ask that there might be an amendment added that could ensure that the rent that I pay, I am notified and I can make sure that that rent is spent on proper things and not drugs.
The next three, and again, I'd remind folks, please, thumbs up, thumbs down. No matter how popular or unpopular.
Thanks. Number 44, Becky Strauss, Maria Schworsky, Shannon Downs, Lucy Berger, Christina Tatum. Oh, thank you. Here, okay.
Great.
They'll be followed by Peter Miller, Kathy Rogers, and I believe it's LaVon Leavitt.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. My name is Becky Strauss. I'm a staff attorney at the Oregon Law Center. The Oregon Law Center provides civil legal services to low-income Oregonians. You've heard a lot today about the impacts, and our clients are experiencing all those impacts of arbitrary no-cause evictions and extreme rent increases. I want to, for those reasons, is because we're seeing those devastating impacts for our clients. It's our number one priority in Salem this session to pass a just cause eviction bill and to lift the preemption on rent stabilization policies so that jurisdictions like Portland can consider what's best for them in terms of a rent stabilization scheme and to mitigate the damage of extreme rent increases. I want to just take my time to bring a couple things into the discussion. I think overall what we're seeing is that issuing a no-cause notice and imposing an extreme rent increase on tenants, those are choices that landlords are making. They don't have to do those things, and there are business options as alternatives. Those are choices, and those choices have consequences. So the policy decision before you is who bears the brunt of those consequences, and I think our clients would greatly benefit from some relief because of the damage that those choices are causing to them. I also wanted to just take a quick moment to try to clear up this confusion about what is or isn't on a tenant's record when there's a no-cause or a for-cause eviction.
Do so quickly, please.
Yes, briefly. There's a difference between a termination notice and an FED or an eviction filing. A termination notice is when a landlord issues a notice. In Portland, a no-cause notice is 90 days, as you know. Most tenants will move out after they get that notice, and nothing will happen from there. There will be absolutely nothing on their tenant record, whether it was a no-cause or 72-hour or for-cause. When they get that termination notice, that's usually the end of the story. If a tenant stays after that time through the expiration of the notice, the landlord can go to court to get a court order so that the sheriff can remove them. That's their remedy if the tenant stays. Whether a tenant wins or loses in court,
the type of notice that was issued is not on their rental record. So again, there's an instance where it doesn't matter what type of notice was issued, it will not reflect on their rental record.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. Do I have a second, or I'm over?
No, we need to move on.
Thank you.
That's good testimony. Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, my name's Maria Swirsky. I'm a mom-and-pop rental property owner, like many, 10 units, duplexes and triplexes. Already, this is a high risk and high cost of doing this business, and I think of myself as a housing provider. I'm not in the business of making people homeless. It's never an easy decision to terminate a tenancy, and usually the problem has been going on for too long, often to the detriment of other residents whom I've lost because of problems that were hard to catch and enforce. So a no-cause termination has an important place, and it needs to stay. Tenants causing a problem, hard to catch them, cat and mouse, I don't live there. It's an uncomfortable scenario to give them a for-cause. I've certainly been in those. The other tenants don't want to go to court because they don't want to miss work, and they don't want their neighbor retaliating against them. Meanwhile, the tenant acts out and does further damage. So I have all these examples. This whole thing feels like it's pitting landlords against tenants. And I used to feel like I could talk to my tenants, could talk to me, and we could work it out. And now I'm feeling like it's us against them, and like I need to build a defense fund because I might need to hire a lawyer. I may have to raise rents to pay for a manager because this is getting to be too much. And I'm not going to be able to give people chances anymore. Because it's too risky. And my rents are like 100 to 500 below market, most of them. So they're getting a great break, and now our hands are being tied. And I feel like I need to raise rents while I can to cover it when I can't.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good evening.
My name is Lucy Berger. I'm a renter and a volunteer for Portland Tenants United. I spend 50% of my income to rent a room in a basement of a house. This is where I was pushed to after I received a no-cause eviction last year. After being an ideal tenant, I was forced from my home into the housing crisis. I was barely able to stay in Portland, where my community is, where I run my small business, where my family and friends are, and where I call home. And I still feel the effects of that eviction today. Relocation is not the fix to the multiple problems we are facing in our housing crisis, though it is a step in the right direction. It will ease the tremendous cost burden tenants face when evicted for no cause. It will deter landlords from treating their tenants like used furniture that you drop off at Goodwill. It will give tenants breathing room when investors purchase properties and mass evict entire communities. Relocation assistance is an integral part of tenants' rights to help the financial burden of displacement. But let us not forget that no-cause evictions are displacement. That no-cause evictions are destroying our neighborhoods, communities, and the integrity of our city. By forcing tenants to the streets at worst, and with luck, another insecure, unreliable housing situation at best, 50% of Portlanders are renters. That is half of our population living in fear, feeling insecure, vulnerable, depressed, stressed, due to the lack of tenant protections.
All right, thank you.
I'm almost done. As a volunteer for PTU, I feel like I'm talking to victims of a war zone. And if that sounds dramatic, it's because you're not on the front lines. Today, you need to make a choice whether you're going to protect the citizens of Portland or protect the profit margin of landlords. We are relying on you as tenants, as citizens, as signers of your paycheck to protect us.
Okay.
To give us the threat of housing security that we need.
We've got it. Thank you. Next, please.
Next are Christina Tatum, Peter Miller, Kathy Rogers, LaVon Leavitt, Calliste Edeen, I believe it is, Calliste Edeen, Lyman Warnock, Cheryl Januzzi, Debbie Pettijohn, Larry Southall. Thank you, Larry. They'll be followed by Lisa Morocco, Bill Consolin, and Eric Zimmerman. It doesn't matter. Would you mind
letting her go
first?
Very good. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you.
My name is Christina Tatum. I'm not even a landlord yet. I purchased a property very close to my home with the intention of renting it until my father, who I take care of, in the event that I would not be able to take care of him, that I could move him into that home and then have hospice take care of him, and I haven't seen anyone address anything like this. to have to pay $4,500 for my father to move into his own home that he purchased. I think we need to just look at this bill a little bit more and flesh it out for the people that just have one property, and that's really important. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Cheryl Januzzi, and I represent some apartment owners. And first, I'd really like to stress that we need to be unified and not divisive on our regulation, on whatever it is. I do have some ideas, and they are outside of this proposed legislation. One is, you know, we do offer tax credits for homeowners with mortgage. If we did tax credit for renters for anything that's over 30% of their total income, we could propose that that is something they can deduct off of their taxes. If we have good, reliable, reputable builders that you know and trust, can we put them on the fast track, reduce some of these permit fees, and really get our housing up and running, especially if it is, you know, mixed income use housing? If we could have some kind of community volunteer sign-up system where our communities offer 10% of units that are already out there, and we price them under market for folks that are on fixed incomes, but is there a way that we can deduct that off our property tax? You know, I mean, if we're going to give, you know, how can we, you know, make it work for everybody? You know, can we investigate tiny houses? Is that something that we can have as homeless people? You know, can we incorporate them and give them a skill, have them build a tiny house and have them actually live in a home? Maybe new homeowners can have attainable mortgages for tiny houses.
Very good.
I would like, whatever we do decide, can we do it? Put it on a pilot program, though, and give it a test before we blanket it?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Khaleesi Dean, and I am a property manager for about 43 different individual homeowners. Excuse me, I'm a little nervous. And then I also have two boys who are grown adults and living in rental housing, so I've seen both sides. And I want to say I really feel the heart in this room, and I appreciate that. And I really want to speak to that. This is about trying to come together and talk about it as a group and make something workable. So some of the ideas that we've come up with from people that I've talked with, again, creating, like, charging every landlord a one-time fee of $2,500 to $3,500. It'd be placed in a general emergency fund. Then you would have a tenants unable to pay for moving costs, so not people who can afford the moving, but people who cannot afford the moving. You would have them apply, and then we could track and have accountability to where that fund and how that moving cost has been going towards. It could be on a sliding scale between 1 and 3 doors, 4 and 6, 8 to 12, 12 plus, however you want to do that. Additionally, you can use these funds to educate tenants and provide them with the skills to be great renters. It helps everyone. You state that you want them to have good references, and that would be a way to provide that for them. They could get a certificate or something like that. You could also take 1% from every move out or move in and make that go towards that general fund. So there's different ways that I think that you can really spread this out so it's not such a burden in such a more concentrated way that makes it hard for those folks.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much. Good ideas all.
One thing I would like to add is that if I would have known this ahead of time, I probably wouldn't have purchased that property.
Thank you.
Next are Larry Southall, Lisa Morocco, Bill Consulin. Please say yes if you're here. Thank you. Eric, then we'll have Eric Zimmerman, Timothy Marcroft, oh no, he spoke already, Lightning, and Danny Big.
Good evening.
Hello. First,
please.
My name is Larry Southall. I am a small-time rental housing provider in Portland. I don't consider myself a landlord. And I take issue with the way that this process is going. I think it's being characterized somewhat like an executive order. I think that there needs to be a lot more weighing of all factors in order to go through something like this. For one, I'd like to present some new evidence concerning the mathematics involved in your equation. You're assuming, number one, that this 3 months relocation fee, 3 months of rent, assumes that the renter is paying first month, last month, and a deposit, security deposit, approximately equal to 3 months rent. So when the person is given a 90-day no-cause notice and they approach the last month of their tenancy, they don't pay the rent because they're currently in a first and last month rent contract, right? So they don't pay the rent on the last month. They have that in hand when they're looking for a new place. At the end of the last month, they have the next month rent in hand because they normally pay the month rent near the first of the month. So they have 2 months rent in hand when they move. Yes, do the math. I think that you're simply rejecting this as an alternative because you didn't want it. It could be set up this way. The people, when they move after a 90-day no cause, have the potential for having 2 months rent in hand when they inhabit the new apartment or new rental.
Thank you.
So you need to review that and see what you can do. Also, you could explore the fact that the security deposit in Portland could be mandated to be returned on a walkthrough on their last day of occupancy so that now they have 3 months rent in hand. What you're trying to do is give them 5 months rent because you're taking 3 months out of the landlord's pocket.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Good
evening.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Morocco. I'm a former Portland tenant. I'm now a tenant in Hillsborough due to the no-cause unlawful eviction that I experienced earlier this year. I'm going to stick to just the differentiating points that haven't brought up yet. I wanted to mention online booking services and how these are becoming, you know, Airbnb and such are becoming a solution for tenants now where they're going on and booking long-term housing, which is what I did. And part of my decision to take my job up here in Portland and move here with my family was based on affordable housing that I found on Airbnb. And unfortunately, what these online booking platforms do is they treat these ma-and-pa tenants as pretty much shareholders within their investment corporation, and they're bypassing a lot of these laws, and I experienced it firsthand. Like I said, I won't get into all the details, but the fact that they're able to do that, they're changing the game for tenants drastically by doing this. They're actually encouraging landlords to evict tenants instantly without reason. They're encouraging landlords to bypass the law. I think that tenants need a protection in place, and this relocation assistance is really a great step, first step to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi, I'm Bill Conklin. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Portland. I am a landlord. I am a guy that my tenants like me. I don't charge high rents. I'm very fair and honest. I take people to the doctor. I let rent go. I've been to court. I no longer go. When I go to court, because I was a nice guy, they get 6 and 8 and 10 more weeks out of the deal. I now send a lawyer. I'm not perfect. I can't choose 100%, but I am the second chance guy. I am, if you want to do what you say you're going to do, I'll give you a chance. But you know what? I listen to this process, and I'm embarrassed to be Portland. You come in without enough information. You don't have all the facts. You don't know the percentages of people that are affected. And you've already made up your mind. And I understand emergencies, and I get all that. But it's like, this is so embarrassing to be Portland with this being presented to the public. And I am Portland, and I do care. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony.
Eric Zimmerman, Lightning, Danny, I believe it's Fegbig, Gary Majors, Mark Reed, thank you, Mark, and then I have Charlie Irish Borrego, Linda Quinn, and Jeff Dude.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Mark Reed. I am a property manager here in Portland. First, I want to say I rely on my tenants for income. And I can't or won't de-emphasize the impacts of any of what's going on those tenants. So I'm not going to get into the who's right, who's wrong, because it's a horrible situation. You asked for things that we had heard that might not be correct. Commissioner Fish, one of the things you had asked about the no-cause versus the for-cause evictions, any court case ends up on someone's credit. So whether it's a dismissed or not, it ends up on their credit. Good landlords who follow the law will look at that, see it was dismissed, not take into consideration. There are plenty of landlords who will see that and not understand what that process is as they go through a for-cause eviction, even if a dismissal was issued. So I want to say there is some impact on that. We see it with a lot of people who still come into our office and say, I talked to someone who won't take Section 8. So whether or not the law is the law on what they can and can't discriminate against, you've got to be careful about making sure that that unintended is not an additional ding for someone's credit going through that process. Commissioner Udaly, one of the things you mentioned was the 30 days out as opposed to 45 days as opposed to 14 days, and going out for tenants who are in the process now, going out to 30 days for payments. One of the things you might want to take into consideration is what happens for tenants who are a week, 4 days. It's up on February 9th. What did those landlords do? What did those tenants do that are already in the process less than 30 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hasn't, okay. So it didn't state that going through. And then Commissioner Fritz, one of the things some of the other people had also mentioned is the people that are homeowners. We manage for a lot of homeowners who have no clue when they're coming back. They buy a property with the intent of moving here, and they can't put that timeline on it. So you want to really be careful. I'd like to think about homeowners. I think that someone moving into their home, it's a very different situation, but it shouldn't have a time limit.
Thank you. Good evening.
I'm going to amend my amendment. Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog PDX. I am going to do a no vote on this ordinance, and I'll explain my reasons. You want to run this along with the state of emergency. That's a few months out, my understanding. Why not go for 2 years if you really believe in this? Another issue I have is that when you do a just cause eviction and those people pay you the $4,500, it doesn't stop the landlord once they move out from raising that rent up. And I can assure you, they will raise that rent up at that time to cover their losses on what this city is doing at this time. You will create a rent increase, rapid rent increase, and also you've exempted Airbnb. So a lot of landlords will just go, hey, I'm not going to get kicked around by the city on this. I'll just let Airbnb handle this on a day-to-day basis. I won't even worry about renting to people anymore. So you'll reduce your inventory. Again, Commissioner Salzman on doing the affordable housing bond, build, build, build. You raised over $250 million. That's what I'd like to see. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Hello, Commissioners. Mayor Wheeler, it's nice to see you again. We met a couple weeks ago at the Dr. Martin Luther King celebration. I was
nice
a Portland net. My name is Danny Zegbeeb, and I've been living in Oregon for 13 years. For the first 38 years of my life, I was a renter. I grew up with a single mom. My brother slept in the dining room, and by the time I was 18, I had moved 20 times. In 2011, my landlord said he was going to sell the house, and that's when I decided to take control of my living situation. So I took everything that I saved, all my life savings, and I purchased a duplex in North Portland. Even though I didn't earn much money from my job as a captionist for students who are deaf and hard of hearing, I combined it with the income from the rental next door, and I was able to get by and pay the mortgage. I purchased this property while playing by the rules, and now my government is trying to change the rules. Imagine government mandating that New Seasons sell its milk and eggs for less than what they paid for it, or government dictating to Nike the retail price for their shoes. That's effectively what Udaly's proposal does to housing providers. It's a de facto way to control rent, and it changes the rules of the game midway through. We would never enforce that private companies sell their products at a loss, so why are we doing the same to housing providers? Just as it's not New Seasons' responsibility to subsidize groceries for low-income residents, it's not the job of private housing providers to lose money because some people can't afford it. That's government's job, is to fill in where capitalism can't, not to completely undermine capitalism itself. So instead of forcing New Seasons to sell their groceries for less, we have food stamps. That's what Section 8 is also designed to do. But the wait list for Section 8 is 9 years long. Why are politicians trying to pawn off the job of government onto a small group of private citizens who they themselves are trying to get by? If Udaly and others truly cared about renters, then she would work to expand programs like Section 8 or create other programs that are similar to it, instead of trying to scapegoat a small minority. And the one unit exception, that's the amendment that's being proposed, that does nothing to help the tenants in those units. And it just illustrates Udaly's commitment to gaining approval of the wealthy homeowners with ADUs rather than truly trying to help all tenants.
I don't understand what you just said, though. So you own a duplex, right? You live in one half and the other one half is rented. So why would the one unit exception not help?
I have a second duplex that I purchased this past year, and my tenants are paying under market rents. But I didn't want to force them out. It's two families. We emailed a little bit, so I'm that person. I didn't want to force them out, so they're paying under market rents, and I was planning on gradually increasing their rents over time because I have a 2016 real estate price mortgage. And this proposal would make it difficult to do that. It would incentivize increasing the rent and paying the fee and having those people leave versus increasing it slowly over time. But that wasn't the main point. The main point is we're treating housing providers differently than we treat any other business. And that doesn't make sense. And the one unit exception doesn't make sense. Because if 50% of the units are owned by someone who only owns one unit, then 50% of the renters will not get this housing subsidy. So if you're going to, or this move-out fee. So if you're going to apply a rule like this, it needs to apply to all units, not just affect people like me who have, you know, three. So, or four, or five.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I would like to add a clarifying point. The average annual increase in costs for Portland landlords are 3-4%. The annual average rent increases for the last 3 years have been 7. So if you're saying that increasing the rent gradually, the 10% doesn't allow you to increase the rent gradually, I'm a little baffled
by
that.
If someone's paying 60% of market, then and let's say their rent is $1,000 and market is $1,400, mm-hmm. then if you increase the rent, say, $90 a year, that's $100 a year, that's a lot easier for those people than if you were to increase it by, say, $200 a year even.
Right, so, and that's what we'd like to encourage.
The proposal incentivizes, if the rent is $400 under market, the proposal actually incentivizes me or other landlords who are privately subsidizing rents, the mom-and-pop landlords are the majority of the people who do this, who charge under market, then it incentivizes us to just bite the bullet, take the fee, pay the fee, and then turn the unit over and bring it up to market.
Okay, that's a new theory. We've also heard that rents are coming down, so you can only charge what the market allows.
Right, and I'm charging under market.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you address the council, I'd appreciate it if you use our titles and not our informal last names.
Yes, Commissioner Daly, you Daly.
Carla, would you please call the next three?
Sorry. I've got Eric. I left off here. 68, Charlie Irish Borrego, Linda Quinn, Jeff Dude, Gus Jennings, David Hayes. Thank you. Gus, okay.
Good evening. Thank you for your patience.
I'll call you next.
Appreciate it.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Me first?
Yeah, please. If you.
Hey, I'd just like to start off by thanking you guys because I think, a newer administration, you guys are doing a really good job, especially with some of the issues you have with the rioting. Anyway, those kind of things. And, you know, I just wanted to...
Just tell us your name, please.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is I'm opposed to both of them. One is I absolutely believe that this will increase rents drastically across the board. When we can raise rents, most likely we will raise rents. Hi, my name's David Nace, by the way, and I own a property management company of 350 units, and about 70 of those are single-family homes. and in which they will be probably being sold off if things like this pass. Some of them will. I've already had a concern expressed about that. And then as far as the no-cause notice goes, one of the things that has not been brought up yet is the fact that if you have a tenant in a unit, and of course, like having 350 units, you can't expect them every month, nor will they allow you to do that. And one of the tenants on the lease agreement move out, and then three or four tenants move in and just happen to get mail at that unit, they are now tenants, according to Multnomah County judges. Every one of them, they are now tenants. There is no rental agreement for these guys. I cannot kick them out. Now they are tenants. They're not unauthorized tenants. They are tenants. Okay? And that is a fact of life. Now I cannot kick them out. The only way I had to do that was a no-cause notice. And, you know, I mean, people have brought up, you really need to table this and think about it. Please table it and think about it, you know.
Thanks. In your lease, you set the number of people that can live in your unit?
They're listed on, yes, ma'am, yeah.
But then people can invite additional people to live in your unit.
They do. They just
but
do. No, you cannot. And not
but
legally.
They're breaking their lease.
No, they move out. The original person on the lease has moved out, we have, we call them holdovers.
Okay, I get it.
Our squatters. Yeah. And all you got to get is one letter. One letter in your mailbox, you know, to that address, to that tenant, and they are considered Multnomah County judges. Okay. Will not evict them.
I got it. I just wasn't quite
tracking.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful clarification. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Jeff Dude. I've been a renter for years. I've been a landlord for even more years. I've been both at the same time, so I've seen both sides of the coin. I guess the one big, two main points I want to make. First of all, I think Normandy and all the horror stories like it are deplorable, and I also think they're completely the exception to the rule. Most landlords don't do things like that. I don't. Most landlords don't do things like that. but despite that, the big fact that seems to be being left out of all these discussions on both sides, actually, is that, like it or not, a rental property is someone's personal private property. And a tenant, like it or not, is renting somebody else's home for all practical purposes, whether it's a building, a single-family house, or a building with 20 units. Those are 20 homes in one building. It's still somebody's 20 homes, and that's their personal private property. So I personally feel the regulations that are already in place are way skewed in the direction of the tenant protection. And I've been a renter. I know what it's like to feel like you're going to get kicked out. So it's a privilege to rent somebody else's private property. It's not a right.
Thank you, sir. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Charlie Irish Borrego, and I'm very involved in the community in a lot of different ways. I supported a lot of nonprofits and folks that are struggling out there. And this housing crisis is very, very serious. I've heard some stories tonight that I hadn't heard before, and it touches my heart. I have four tenants, all of them paying under market. If this passes, their rents will go up dramatically, even if I have to pay the fee, because I am a businessman, and I do have to cover those costs over time. And I'm not interested in hurting these people. One of my tenants is a disabled veteran. He pays me $600 a month for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with his dog. I've had him in there for a year and a half. I've lost a great deal of income, but I have a social responsibility, and I feel very strongly about helping the American people and our community. But when you place regulations like this upon us, we will retaliate. and it's not a threat. We have to conduct our businesses and our properties because we don't owe them as a charity. They're a business.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Thank you.
The next three are Gus Jennings, Michael Armstrong, Ann Crook, Sasha Crater, Riley Waite Jones. We have Jamie Partridge, Alyssa, I believe it's Meyer, and Hung Na, oh no, John McKay.
Good evening.
Hi. My name is Gus Jennings. I live at Titan Manor. I'm 76 years old. I'm on Social Security. I got a 90-day no-cause record to move out. I don't drive. I have two bedrooms. Do I move it on the bus? How do I get along? I don't even know if I can afford to buy rent anywhere else. And I'm deeply concerned. I may be on the street.
Thank you, sir.
Has everybody in your building got evicted?
Everybody.
How many people? How many? Is that
57
about?
Units.
Yeah.
Titan Manor.
Thank you for letting me know.
Thank you,
appreciate
sir.
Appreciate that. 70.
Good evening.
70 units.
What we can do.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name's Michelle Armstrong. I purchased a quadplex in November before the election happened, and part of that was getting a pro forma from my real estate agent. The quadplex had deferred maintenance, and therefore, based on the pro forma and including improvements, I was looking at moving what would be actually an unpurchasable quadplex because the finances wouldn't have worked out into something that would have made a good business decision. Not that I'm making tons of money. In fact, the scheduled annualized income comes in less than $5,000. Now this comes along. I have three-bedroom, three-bath units. In order to improve the units, I need to have them empty because I'm talking about kitchens, floors, bathrooms. We're talking about black mold and a new roof. Now, had I known this in advance, I would never have purchased a quadplex. If this comes through and there's not some sort of amendment or exemption for me, I will be relegated to being a slumlord because I will not be able to make the improvements in order to make the rents, so I will have to choose.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Ann Crook, and I'm another mom-and-pop landlord. I own three single-family houses, and I purchased them with the intent of hopefully supplementing my retirement. I have a 10-year tenant that I've only raised the rent on three times. You've heard this story multiple times. And my obscene profits allow me to drive a 13-year-old car and still work a job. And this kind of relocation costs will probably, I've been on the fence as to when I'm going to sell my rentals. But laws like this are really making me seriously think about getting out of the landlord business. And those houses will not be sold to another landlord. They'll be sold to an owner-occupant or developer. But then if it's a developer, you may get 20 more units of apartments.
Yeah, thank you.
And one more thing. I would like you to table this. I think you need more public input. But also, I've noticed there seems to be a lot of ignorance about ORS 90, which is a state law that does provide a lot of protections for tenants. Not as far as relocation costs, but I've heard people mention all the fees they get charged and stuff, and I really encourage people to read that law.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
We're on number 77. Sasha Crater, Riley Waite Jones, Jamie Partridge, Alyssa, I believe it was Einstein Kmeyer. Is there Hung Nam? I think he may have already spoke. Wait, John McKay. Goldberg. I think can't read the first name. Demi Freebib. Cameron Foster, John Kay, Steve Thomas, Carl Imons, Damian Heald, Ashanti Han, Charles Johnson, J.J. Bailey, Minka Wallace, Deborah Leva, Laura on President, Ronald Brown, Matthew Ray, W-R-A-Y, Thomas Riggs, Claire Paris, Vicky, on 21st, Joy Heineke, Samson Black, Rich Hanna.
Okay, can we get a show of hands? Yeah, how many people here want to testify? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, you, and you. Come, get ready to come up. One more person come up.
Over here, ma'am.
You're in. Okay, have a seat, please. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Sean Kelly. I'm speaking in front of you today in regards to the proposal of landlords assisting tenants in relocation costs. I want to present some numbers right now because I like math. I'm a small business owner. I manage a moving company. So as of July 16, the median average for a two-bedroom apartment in our city is $1,600. Most, if not all, landlords require first and last month's rent, as well as a security deposit, equal to rent, the same cost of rent. Now, assuming there is no last month's, this puts us at $3,200 just for the guarantee of a new apartment on the median average. It usually costs $50 per person to apply for a new apartment. If you have two people, a couple, that is $100 right there for just one application. People usually submit about 10. We're looking now at $4,200 just to relocate. That is what's being proposed for a two-bedroom household in this relocation assistance. $4,200 for a no-cause eviction. And I feel that must be stated repeatedly for the landlords worried, if you don't do no-cause evictions, this does not affect you. If you do not put people in the position of 90 days to save up $4,200, this does not affect you. Also, with moving costs, all moving costs through moving companies are regulated by the state of Oregon through the OMSA, which is the Oregon Moving and Storage Association. All rates are fixed. For two movers and a truck, it is $130.95 in an hour with a two-hour minimum. An average two-bedroom apartment on a third story takes 5 to 7 hours to move. You are looking at $908.15. Add that to $4,200. You are looking well above what is even being asked right now. Tenants still have a financial responsibility with this relocation assistance asked. All it's asking is that landlords put in the same responsibility. The poor working class has most often taken all responsibility for stuff out of our control. It's time for the middle class to do the same.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi there. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Sammy. I'm a mathematician. I'm a professor. I'm a renter. By day, I assign exercises, so I wanted to start by saying, regardless of what you consider a good landlord, it can be the case that most of the landlords are good, and still most tenants don't have a good landlord. So I want you to think about that. That's a stats exercise. I'm here to not to talk about you voting in favor of this ordinance, because I think you will. I'm here to talk about amendments, specifically these rumored amendments to carve out exemptions for small landlords, say that only own 1, 2, 3, 4 units. Let me remind you, the median number of homes owned by a Portlander is 0, okay? Most of us are renters. I want to center this conversation on tenants. If this is about tenant protections, let's talk about tenants, okay? What about a tenant who happens to pay rent to a small-time landlord? If there's a loophole, they fall through it. Every tenant ought to be covered by this, okay? We all have these moving expenses. I want to address one or two other points. Regarding slowing down, I've heard a lot of this. We didn't get involved in this process. We want to slow it down, bring all the stakeholders to the table. I want to remind people that the housing emergency was declared like almost a year and a half ago. And moreover, there was a landlord-tenant coalition. It was dissolved by DiLorenzo, who leads the Orwellian-named Equitable Housing Pact. Good faith argument it falls a little flat on our ears.
Thank you. Is that your final point?
My final point is that I've brought here roughly 250 signed postcards. Okay. Anyway, for you, the commissioners, to look at. These are tenants in support of the Tenant Bill of Rights.
Thank you.
And
you can give those to the council clerk, and yep, she'll make sure that's registered on the record. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Council, for hearing me. My name is Star Stauffer. I am a tenant. My first point that I think really needs to be made is landlords are not housing providers. Excuse me. I provide my own housing by working my butt off. I pay my rent. I'm making an investment in their property. If that isn't enough for them to think that I deserve more than a no-cause eviction for whatever their lame reason might be, I'm not worthy of going through the courts and finding cause against me, why should I hear what they're having to say? We're human beings. And not only that, this is not a new issue. And let me remind the landlords in this room that 5 people have died on these streets in the last 2 months. And all 5 of them were people who at one point or another were evicted from their homes. When's the last time any of you visited a food bank? When is the last time any of you slept on a street? So before you so coldly dismiss us as capital, think about that baby and think about those other 5 people. And stop acting so heartless, because without renters, you'll end up on the street too. Stop threatening us with rental increases.
Thank you. And see how many more? Raise hands. How many more? 1, 2, 3. Perfect. Come on up. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see this gentleman. We'll need one more set, I think, after this. Come on up, sir. Thank you. Good evening. Why don't you go ahead and start, since you're
Mike Withy. So I think it's pretty apparent that we need some policy changes like this. This is just one of many policy changes that we're going to need if we're going to make any dent in the housing and homeless issue. What I've heard today is a lot of threats. I heard a lot of people saying that they're going to start selling their homes, that they're going to disinvest in Portland because they might have to give some security to their tenants. I sort of heard the same thing when Donald Trump was going to get elected. I guess Canada was going to get a big influx of Americans, but that never happened. They stayed here. So I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that they're going to disinvest because Portland needs help right now. It's, like Chloe said, it's temporary. This is not something that's going to go on for years and years. I would hope that they would act better, that they would be more responsible and be willing to help. And what other people have brought up, which I don't need to, but I will, is that there's been plenty of time to work, to come up with these creative ideas, but they didn't. And now it's time to come up and step up to the plate.
So. Thank you, sir. Good evening.
Yes. My name is Robert West. I'm with Film the Police 911. And I'm a renter, but I'm also against this bill. One, I think it was quickly wrote up. I don't think it was thought about. And it affects all landlords and all tenants. And you can punish landlords, you can punish tenants and stuff. What stops the landlords from raising the rents and pushing affordable housing out of Portland?
Thank you, sir. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Grant Sawyer. I'm retired. I'm a resident of the People's Republic of Southeast Portland, and I live on Grant Street. I'm a single-unit landlord. I urge you to exempt mom-and-pop landlords who own only one rental property. And I have a very fair, sound, and unique reason for this request. In 2014, I took a substantial portion of my lifetime retirement savings and built an ADA-compliant ADU in my backyard. I built it an award-winning Earth Advantage Platinum ADU to ADA standards for that, hopefully avoid a day when my doctor wants to send me to a nursing home or assisted living center. I can go to the one in my backyard. When that day comes, though, I'll need the right to do a no-cause eviction without having to pay moving costs so I can move into my own ADU, ADA-certified home. Talking about fairness, I've always treated my renters as I would have been treated in the many years I have been a landlord, both here and in Washington State. So I think you should please be sure to exempt single-unit landlords for very sound reasons, such as I just listed. It would be an undue burden on me in a medical emergency if I couldn't do that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your testimony. And we have just a couple more. We had one gentleman over here. Yes, sir. And was there anybody else? Yes, sir. Okay. Good. We're down to the last two. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Last but not least.
Hello. My name is Derek Aragon, and I'm a small real estate investor here in Portland. And I wanted to get some clarification on what was said earlier about the no cause is also considered at the end of a lease term. So if I have a tenant and we agree on a lease of 12 months and the time comes for that lease to end and I want to end that lease or come to the end of what we've agreed on in the lease, it sounded like that would not actually count.
I'm going to ask Jamie to speak to that because it's been one of the more confusing parts of this is understanding contract law.
Let's finish, and then I thought he was done.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll put Jamie on the hot
seat. No, and so, I mean, I guess I don't really understand that part, so it would be nice to understand that. And I guess before I get the clarification, if that's considered a no-cause eviction, then why do we have a lease in general? And I usually have my tenants under market as well. And with this coming to my attention, it's forcing me to look at all of my units and see what, you know, does it make sense to increase or take the hit or do any of that. It's really making me analyze the entire investment where before I would just, the tenants paid their rent, I would let them pay their rent and they're under market and not everybody can do that, but I would just let them do that. So I would like to do an amendment if of some sort or propose an amendment for actually taking consideration that you are going into a contract of 12 months. And if you give them due time to tell them that you're ending the lease, that, I mean, that seems fair to me. And I do understand what's going on in Portland. I spend a lot of my time and energy.
We're going to have staff.
Yeah, that would be great.
Stick around, so we may need to follow up with you.
But okay, great.
We've got to rewind this.
Last guy, you're up.
I don't very often say good evening, commissioners. My name is Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and I think that the key element has already been touched on most clearly by just a few testifiers ago, Star Stauffer. People are dying. That is why everybody who says you're moving too hastily is out of whack. People are dying. It might slightly damage some landlord's financial picture, this thing. Except, what do? They threaten you. They say, hey, you city council, I'm going to go ahead and pay the $4,500 because that's how difficult my life is. And one guy said he's going to pay it four times in his nice red and black plaid shirt. He's one of the guys who hasn't got up here and said, it's really hard being a landlord. It's so difficult. Oh, I don't do anything. I have a paid subcontractor, property manager, do all that. Thanks. Thousands. Did you catch that number? About thousands of people who are actually not really landlording. They're subcontracting the landlord job. There was the nonsense about how this is like an executive order. We can't really get into that. Mr. Fish, Councillor Fish, however I'm supposed to address people per Chloe's instruction, between Commissioner Chloe Udaly's instruction.
You know what? I think we're getting a bit silly here. So,
The important thing is that Mr. Fish, Commissioner Fish, has said that